and to do is they would have a recitation of what the faith was they were being baptized into. Well, we're doing this thing called baptism. We're putting you under the water, and when you're bringing you back up, well, how does that differ from anybody else's religion? How does that differ from what anybody else is doing? Some kind of ritual. It's demonstrating the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, and then the creed began, said, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead." And all of these things. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. So they would recite these things to as a declaration of faith. So they say, and there are various forms of it, but all of them contained the what I just recited to you. So we're teaching our kids that on Sunday night. You know, if nothing else, you know what your faith is. You know what the bases of the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, go look it up. Well, no, you should be looking it up. You should be reading. You should be getting into the Scriptures. But it's powerful to have these things that we remember. Amen? Well, Pastor Jim is back. Alex is back. Yay. Praise the Lord. Yay. Back from Africa. Did you get that shirt over there?
Yeah.
Amen.
You got it at Walmart. Can't you tell?
I got mine at Walmart. No, I'm just kidding. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Where'd you get that?
This is actually a gift from Pastor Joel's wife.
Yeah, isn't she powerful? Yeah. I thought I recognized that design.
How'd it go?
Get up and take a couple of minutes.
We lift them up to you. We thank you. We ask you to bless them. Lord, help them to grow and to hear your voice as a nation and join with you and your purposes and your plans. We ask you to bless. Lord, we lift up there's about 2 million orphans over there, Lord, and we lift them up to you, God, that you'd send laborers into every orphan's life. We lift up the members of, Mr. Coney, who heads the LRA thing. Father, get him saved. Baptize him with your love. Draw him close to you, God. And send laborers into the lives of every member of the LRA. Let them be saved, delivered, set free. We pray for a gracious and a peaceful resolution to that whole thing, but you would dismantle it, God, by your grace, all the atrocities going on with that. But Lord, I say, let your kingdom continue to come. Let your will continue to be done in Uganda as it is in heaven. We thank you for the opportunity to be connected with Him in heaven and on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
David?
Yes?
You mentioned the Apostles' Creed.
Afternoon, I think you guys got back then. And apparently, there was another event happening up in Illinois. So, a reunion going on. I guess it's at Augustana. I'm thinking it, where Jim and Peg both met and went to school at Augustana University, or I think it was college back then, in Rockville, Illinois. And so I think my understanding is they're up there for a reunion, and they'll probably drop by and see Jim's sister. And I'll tell you what, get back off of a trip from Uganda and hop in the car and drive to Illinois. I just ask you, don't call the guy next week. You've held out this long. Just ask Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I'm sure he was. Yeah.
He was
full of. We keep telling him to get a bag with wheels. He's always carrying his bag, you know. Is that the one, the big one?
Big one, yeah.
Yeah, right. You know. So somebody buy the guy a bag with wheels for traveling. He probably wouldn't use the wheels. He'd go ahead and suffer. He'd cut the wheels off. Give them to somebody in Africa. Turn over to Psalm 27. Hallelujah. God is good, and His mercy endures forever. When we come together, we come together to worship. We come together to fellowship. Psalm 27. Come together to fellowship, to encourage and build up one another. Not just to hear a message, but to testify. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So those two statements begin with the Lord. And that's how your morning begins, and that's how your life begins. And daily, that's how you begin. Amen? When you're born again, your life and your life begins with Jesus. Your life begins with the Father every day. It's like I mentioned earlier, it's like being born again. Every day is a new beginning. Every day is a new day. Amen? It is. Every day is a new day. Every day you open your eyes and the sun is up. And it's a new day to rise and to praise the Lord, to thank Him for His grace, to thank Him for His mercy. You don't know what is going to become of what was going on yesterday, today. You know that that is true because every day brings something new. Now, it seems in some instances like every day seems the same. But I tell you, as you praise the Lord, as you rise and give God thanks, every day is new. There is one thing that we can depend upon is that He is in me. And He lives on the inside of me. And He is showing Himself mighty on the inside of me. The Lord is my light. He's my illumination. He shows me things that I do not know. Jeremiah 33:3 is a key scripture for me, for my life. It was given to me by a prophetess, a husband and wife team back when I was 16 years old. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's a promise that I don't want to ever forget or let go of. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Well, I called on God. He didn't say anything. No. God is leading me. Whether He verbally speaks to me, even in a still small voice, I know that He is leading me. He is guiding me throughout every day. There is not a day when He is not with me. There is not a day when He is not guiding me. And it's not my favorite day in the outward look. And many times the outward days just seem to drag on. But here's my hope. For even the outward days that drag on, this is my hope. This is my confidence. Is that the Lord is my light and my salvation. He is my salvation. No matter what the occurrences may appear to be, no matter what the direction seems to be that I am in the downhill path, I may be appearing to be upon in my flesh. The Lord is my light and my salvation. For someone else who does not know the Lord, He is not their light and their salvation. But for me, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, there are things that occur in and around my house that some days it looks like, where's the Lord? You know what? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Now read it again next. Whom shall I fear? Nothing. I fear nothing. It's not because of my shotgun at the front door. Now, I won't tell you whether I'm kidding about that or not. Whom shall I fear? No one. I fear nothing. Say it. I fear nothing. Oh, the devil's coming to you now. Devil's going to come get you 3 times now. I tricked you. You know what? It's not true. He doesn't have any power and authority over you because you're born of God. You're born of Jesus Christ. You're a kingdom child. You're a king's kid. Say it. I'm a king's kid. I'm a king's kid. You remember that back in the 70s? Everybody remember that? Some of you don't remember the 70s. You're a king's kid. Shane does not remember the 70s. So you need to tell him. You're a king's kid. So you'd walk around. Who used to say that? Who was the first people that coined that? You remember? Huh? No, it wasn't Bob Tilton. It was like Don Basham or somebody like that. You know? One of the early charismatic guys. You know, I'm a king's kid. Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. It's awesome. So I am a king's kid. So there's nothing that shall by any means hurt me. And so all of these days here we go. We got the Obama thing. You know, we got Al-Qaeda things. We got all of these things. We got economic turmoil. We got crazy people running our money. You know what? It doesn't affect my economy. It may kind of bump me as I walk by. But it doesn't destroy my economy. Well, you may think I'm crazy. That's fine. You can think what you want. I'm crazy and happy. Amen? I'm crazy and happy. I'm free. Because there's nothing that shall by any means hurt me. Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Nobody. Now, I'm smart. I don't drive in places I shouldn't drive. You know? But I mean, of whom shall I be afraid? Can somebody come and get me and take me and ruin me? Even if they appeared to from the outside, they can't. If they appeared to take everything I have, they still can't take everything I have. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is... Why is that? Because the Lord is the strength of my life. Not how everything's going. See, so many times the strength of your life kind of lends itself to be, how's everything going? You kind of take in your temperature as to how things are. How things are going. We've had our share of things that, I could take my temperature on. Some of you know. You know, that I could take my temperature and see how I'm doing today. No. I don't take my temperature. This is my thermometer right here. Amen? It says I always win. It says I'm not, and I understand that there are times that in your emotions they kinda grab a hold of you and pull. But you know what? They can't win. They don't have enough strength or power to pull me over the edge or pull me, off the end of the planet. Because I know whom I have believed. That He is able. And am persuaded. I'm persuaded. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that. To hold on to it. I've given it to Him to hold on to it to keep. And He's going to keep that which I've committed unto Him. Against the day of the Lord's return. In other words, I've given Him everything, and He's going to keep it. He's a big safe deposit box, and nobody can get in, and nobody can get my stuff. Nobody can get me. Nobody can get my heart. nobody can get me. Amen? Now, I'm preaching about you. Okay? I'm not preaching about me. I'm preaching about you. I'm just using me as a very simple example. Because you're the same. Because you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You're indwelt by the living God. You're indwelt by the one He is the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the church. How can you believe in the church? Back on the creed here. How can you believe in the church? It's because God, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, my called out ones. Now, church obviously is a German word referring back to out of the German Bible, Kirk. It's not a Bible word, but it comes out of the Evangelion, which is the Ecclesia, which is the called out ones. You are the called out ones. You have been called out. You are no longer what you were. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. They're dead. Old things are passed away. The things I used to believe, the things I used to depend on, the things I used to be afraid of. They're all gone. And now, all of my hope, all my springs of joy are in you, O Lord. The Lord is the strength of my life. He is the strength of my life. You wonder how somebody makes it. He's the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. I don't have my own strength. Amen? I don't have my own strength. I am indwelt by His Spirit. The power of the living God resides on the inside of me. I love and I do not hate. His Word is truth. There is no other. I am in Him and He is in me, and my Heavenly Father loves me. He's not angry with me. He's not fed up with me. He, in fact, loves to come in and dwell with me and transform me into His image. I want to tell somebody else. Amen? I want to tell somebody else. And I find myself not telling somebody else. Lord God, I want to tell somebody else. I want to tell somebody else. I want to know You in such a way that it just pops out of me. Amen? It just comes out. It just flows out. Because He promised a river of living water. There was the Holy Spirit that came the day that He breathed on them. He said the Holy Spirit, number one, is going to be as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. But then later He says, it will be a river of living water flowing out of you. How many know a river is a little bigger than a spring? Is that the Holy Spirit is a river flowing out of you, through you, to transform the nations. That's why He said, don't go anywhere. Next Sunday, if I got this right, next Sunday is Pentecost. Celebrating Pentecost. The 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. 10 days after His ascension. Celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said, don't leave town. So y'all remember, don't leave town. Stay around this week. Don't leave town. And the Holy Spirit came and filled all the house where they were sitting as a rushing mighty wind, and lit upon them with tongues as of fire. That's next week. Don't want to ruin it for you. So he says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Said it twice. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Recite those things. Say those things. You know? Say those things. Say these things. Psalm 21 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Not I will think of the Lord. I will ponder of the Lord. But I will say of the Lord. So when things come down on you, start talking. Can I say that? Start talking. Say with your mouth, God is good. Say with your mouth, the Lord is the strength of my life. Say with your mouth. Say to somebody else when they look at you and you're going through the ringer. Say to somebody else, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. Boy, that sounds awful. They came upon me to eat up my flesh. Guess what happened to them? They stumbled and fell. It looks like they. Some of you say, well, they got a little nibble before they went, before they fell. They've come to eat up my flesh, but they stumbled and fell. Imagine what it would have been like if they hadn't stumbled and fell. But it's because you belong to Jesus. It's because you belong to your Father in heaven. And though a host, an army, should encamp against me, listen, my heart shall not fear. I want you to separate between your heart and your soul. Because your soul may be jiggling like jello, but your heart does not fear. You need to separate between soul and spirit by faith in the promises of the Father. Remember what he said in Hebrews 4:12. He said, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's the Word of God that's alive and powerful, not you. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between joints and marrow, spirit and soul. And it is a discerner of the intents, thoughts and intents of the heart. It divides between your soul and your spirit. Look at that. Can you look at that? It divides between your soul and your spirit. Why? Because your soul was born in this world, your spirit was born from above. So he divides between the two, and he says, hear me. When he was up on the mountain and the cloud came and covered up Elijah and Moses, and the Father said from heaven, in the hearing of James and John and Peter, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. My heart shall not fear. Why? Because my heart is hearing his promise and his finished work. My soul is still experiencing the turmoil of the planet, still experiencing this world. So what I say when I'm looking at this is dividing between soul and spirit also has to do with dividing between this world and the kingdom of heaven in which I live, in which I dwell. And I meditate upon these things day and night. I meditate upon these things different day and night. The difference between this world and the not heaven up there somewhere, but heaven, which is where I live. I live in heaven. Right now. No, you don't. You're standing right there. No, I live in heaven right now. Now, sometimes the world tries to break in on me and it tries to, hey, pay attention to me. No, I'm not going to pay attention to you. You don't run me. You don't rule me. I'm a king's kid. I'm not a devil's kid. Not anymore. Though a host, an army, should camp about against me. See, from the outward, it looks like this is a problem. This is a problem! Because you're looking with the outward eyes. Okay? A host, an army, is right here, isn't it? Like this world. Like, here they come to get me. That's the host. That's what you see with your eyes. Remember the story of the host surrounding Israel? And then Elijah tells the young man, it says, he knows that there's the host of heaven surrounding the host of this world. And he says, open the young... What? What does he say? Open the young man's eyes. There's some eyes need to be opened. That there is a host that is more powerful than the host that's surrounding you. Isn't it? There's a host that's more powerful than the host that's surrounding you. It's the host of heaven. It's the army of heaven. And they're all on your behalf. So though a host camp about and against me, my heart shall not fear. Now my brain may be going nuts. My thoughts, my emotions might be going nuts. But I tell them, no. Just like Elijah spoke to the young man, said, no. Father opened the young man's eyes so that he might see that victory belongs to the children of God. Victory belongs to me. Though I lose everything, victory belongs to me. You can't get me. Nyan-nyan. You can't get me. Man, I'm not the gingerbread man. I'm a king's kid. You can't get me. No matter what takes place in this world, you can't get me. Amen? My testimony will outlive me. Hallelujah. My testimony will outlive me. Amen? Your testimony will outlive you. That is, they looked at the disciples and said, they've been with Jesus. This is his testimony, that he believed God. Is there music going on?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's having a party.
It's the ice cream man.
No. Okay, read this one again. You're going to have to read this 27 again. This is so powerful. Though a host camp about against me, my heart shall not fear. Did everybody kind of get that? It's your heart is that of you which is born again. It's not your soul, which still happens to live here and suffers under duress. You just kind of like, okay, calm down there. Calm down there, little soul. You just want to calm him down. See, Jesus is in charge. It'd be okay. Well, yeah, but... Just calm down. David did what when his enemies were coming against him? David encouraged himself in the Lord. I mean, there was everything going wrong. There was nothing going right. And David encouraged... Nobody was encouraging him. Well, how do I do that? David encouraged himself in the Lord. He stirred up the promise of God, which is on the inside of it. He stirs it up. Though war should rise against me, end of verse 3, in this will I be confident. So though even though there's a war that's imminent, even though it seems like the United States is just lost. Some people believe in the United States like a religion. And I say the pledge to the flag and all that, you know, but I don't include Jesus in that, you know. I say, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America. Well, Jesus is above the flag. One nation where? Under. So all of that pledge of allegiance is, thank God for 1954. That's when they put it in there. It's put in. It's under God. So now the whole place is under God. Now you may be wondering about that. No, but I choose to believe. Oh, no, it's my God. Well, which God are they talking about? You know, well, it's under my God. Sorry. You know, it's under my God, Jesus Christ, Elohim, Father who gave the law to Israel, and then gave the Savior to Israel, who then adopted me. That's the God that this thing is under. So hallelujah, amen. God's good, but I don't believe in the country. You know, the country, man, it's a bunch of idiots running the thing. Amen? And we're idiots because we keep electing the same ones. You know, you have a responsibility to do that, to pay attention to what's going on. God said that if you're in captivity in a place, that your responsibility to pray for the peace of that place. Take care of that place. Build the place up while you're there. Don't leave it better than you found it. Well, yeah, but they're wicked. Not a problem. God will handle that. He'll just take you out later. I mean, you're like old Mitt Romney. You're a turnaround expert. You come in, you make things better than they were before. Then you bug out and move on to the next one. Praise the Lord. Y'all never thought of that, did you? So you come in, that's what you do. That's what you do. You come in and you, if it's your duty, with your liberty, it's your duty to not just suck up everything you can. It's your duty to actually make the place better than when you left it, when you found it. Amen? So that's what you're doing. You're coming in, and when you vote with righteousness. When you vote and when you work for a particular candidate, you're working so that righteousness would exalt the nation. So get on it. You know, that's why we do what we do when we're not here. Is, you know, don't just give up on the thing. No, God put you here. You think you're here by accident? Somehow or another, you're not in India. Huh? Get on it. Well, I don't do that. Well, ask God then. You know, don't just, you know, make decisions on your own. Ask the Lord what to do with your time. So he said, though the war should rise against me in this, will I be confident? I'm confident. I'm totally confident. Say it. I'm confident. Ooh-wee. Man, I'm confident now. I feel much better. I'm confident. I just love this. Amen? Hope you're having as much fun as I am. One thing, verse 4, have I desired of the Lord. 10 things. Here's my list. So one thing have I desired of the Lord. And I think this thing is kind of funny because it's almost like, well, wait a minute. There's 3 things here. There's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's just one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That sounds like Psalm 23. That's about 4 Psalms ago. This is what I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Can I come in? And to inquire in His temple, to know Him. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, His beauty, His loveliness, His completeness, His He is the one who loves me. He is the one who has brought me into His presence. And to inquire in His trouble, in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me. You're wondering, well, what would it be like if I wasn't being hidden? Because it's pretty rough. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. So, though, again, all this camp is round about me, I'm in His temple. I'm in His pavilion. I'm hidden. And in the middle of that temple, I'm lifting my hands. Lifting my hands to worship and glorify and magnify my King, in whose house I dwell. I'm living in there. I live in His house. I'm living in His house. I don't dwell anywhere else. I moved out of my old house, sold it. Did you sell your old house? Sell it. Sell the old house. Move out. Move into Jesus' house. Move into God's house. Move into the Father's house. Move into the Father's house. Don't have a summer home. Amen? Or don't have a winter home, whatever it is. Yeah. I've moved into his pavilion. He's setting me up upon a rock. Who's the rock? Anybody remember? Jesus. 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 In the time of trouble, he'll hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. See, this isn't just poetry. Okay? This isn't just poetry. This is your life. This is being born from above. This is Jesus Christ having drawn you and brought you into the presence of the mighty Father, the Father who created heaven and earth, bringing you into his tabernacle, his dwelling place. So this isn't sweet poetry, my friend. This is the living God. This is the living God. So verse 6, Psalm 27. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies, round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. See, now that's suffering. You want to know what suffering was? That's it. Keeping silent with respect to your complaints. God knows you have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things, it's not conditional. All these other things will be added to you. It's not like, behave yourself and do nice, and then maybe I'll think about blessing you. No! It's how they come. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things just come along behind. All these other things just come behind. And number two, you're not even looking for them anymore. You're not looking at trying to wondering where they are. As you're growing, God's doing mighty things. God's doing mighty things. So therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Hear when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek you my face, that's what God said. My heart said to you, my heart, born again part, Lord, your face will I seek. Listen, don't get all bound up in the way your brain is thinking. Okay? I'm just telling you. Don't get all wound up in how your brain is carrying on. Because it'll just carry on. Anybody ever had a bad dog that just made messes all over the house? And it's kind of like your leftover flesh. That's just you. It's just you. You know, it's not the born again man. So don't be sweating that guy. Just pay attention to this guy. Put all your hope in the finished work of Jesus in and through you. Don't put any disgust or disdain. Don't put effort into your failure as a in the flesh. Don't put any effort into that. A lot of people put effort into it. I mean, feeling guilty about it, saying you're sorry about it. You know, repentance is just hearing the word of God and turning. That's what repentance is. Repentance is not, you know, and the tears that come with repentance are because of revelation, not because of your effort to feel sorry for what you did. Like earlier, you know, when I'm reading the scripture and it overwhelms me. That's the tears. It's not tears that are, you know, work up sorrow. You know, your flesh is not sorry. Your flesh would do it again. your flesh, because your flesh was convinced that was the way to happiness. Making my own way, building my own kingdom, making sure everybody follows me, make sure everybody does what I want them to do. You know, that is the kind of stuff that I think builds my own kingdom, makes me happy. You know what? It doesn't, because there's never enough of it, because I'm never satisfied. Well, if only this, and if only that, you know what? You'll never be satisfied. I want you to know you'll never be satisfied. If something went good, you'll never be satisfied. It's always got to be something better. Now, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, yeah, the eyes are never satisfied. You know, the ears are never, the mouth is never satisfied. Nothing's ever satisfying. For a couple of minutes, you're okay. But then you're always looking for more. So drug addicts are always looking for more. You're looking for more. You know the reason? What you're looking for is you're looking for Jesus. You're looking for more of God. You're looking for more of your Creator. And finally, one day you'll break out of this body and you'll be done. But see, you're always fighting against this body. You're always fighting against this flesh. Flesh can never provide what God provides. So I'll seek your face. And once I seek your face, everything else comes. That's the one thing. Don't seek everything else. Seek the face first. Amen? And you find, you know, after being young a little while, you know, and then you get a little older, and you find out, you know what? This is chasing all this stuff. I mean, it's not that you don't want it anymore. It's not that you're just not selfish anymore. It's just you're tired. You just get tired after a while of chasing the dream. You're just tired of chasing the thing. Verse 9 says, "Hide not your face far from me. Put not your servant away in anger. You've been my help. Leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, clear path, because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me." This is how I live in this world. See, your flesh is getting all busy, thinking about things. "And such as breathe out cruelty." Verse 13. Enjoy this one. "I would have fainted unless I had seen." Oh, wait. No. Oh, believe? It's kind of like the one that, you know, the root of evil is money is the root of all evil. What? No, that's not what it says. It says the what? The love of money is the root of all evil. Same thing here. People skip this so they can preach harder or something. "I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I would have fainted unless I... So the issue here is believing. Not seeing, isn't it? I would have fainted had I not believed, had I not been carried by the promise. Had I not been carried by the promise of God that all things are going my way, I would have fainted. But as it is, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of right now. That's like right now. In the right now. Not in the world to come. So believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land that I live in right now. So, I'm no longer fainting because I'm believing. Now my flesh again, yeah, I realize that, but I don't count it. When it gets worked up, I don't count it. I don't baby it. I just tell it, no. Enough. Verse 14, finally. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So, wait on the Lord. Come into His presence. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Cheer up! And He shall strengthen your heart. You're growing. You're growing up in Him. You're growing up in Him. Seeking Him first. Worshiping Him. Giving praise and glory and honor. Singing praises in His tabernacle. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. That's how you change, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire in His temple. And He's putting you up upon a rock. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lord. Father, we worship You. We exalt You and praise You and seek Your face. Thank You that every day we look into Your face knowing that You have made provision for us. Open our eyes. So that though a host is camping around me, I will not fear. For those that be with me are greater than those that be with them. Father, we thank You for all of Your promises. All the promises in You, in Christ Jesus, are yes and amen. So we depart today singing praises, magnifying and glorifying Your name, giving with joy, declaring Your glory to one another and to the world. We give You praise and thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You for the team that went to Africa. Thank You, Lord God, that their team is bearing fruit. Bearing great fruit. And that fruit will remain, will continue to bear fruit. And we give You praise. Bring Pastor Jim and Peg back from their trip safely. Rest them. Cause them to be rested. We pray also for Paul and Kathleen Ayers, who are still in traveling, and ask You to bless them and bring them home safely again. We give You the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.